Hi everyone, welcome to the Windows Azure Tables video series. In this video, we're going to introduce Windows Azure Tables. In subsequent videos, we'll talk about more advanced topics such as querying and security and things like that. But in today's video, we're just going to introduce Windows Azure Tables from the Windows Azure Storage component of Windows Azure. My name is Scott Klein. I'm a technical evangelist for Microsoft Corporation, and today we're just going to spend a few minutes and introduce Windows Azure Tables. So the concept behind Windows Azure Table Storage is quite simple. Once you provision your storage account through the Windows Azure Management Portal, that account gives you the ability to create a storage account. In that account, you can create tables, and the concept is that account can have multiple tables. Each table can have multiple entities, and we'll talk about entities in a few minutes, but it's simply quite easy to understand. The account can have multiple tables, tables can have multiple entities, and we'll see this in a few minutes. So let's talk about entities, and I think the concept that we need to understand is that when we talk about tables, we need to realize that Windows Azure Tables are not like SQL Server tables from a relational standpoint. So Windows Azure Tables, this is not a relational database. You can still query and update and insert and delete, and tables can have metadata, but they are not relational. So you can have multiple tables, but you can't do joins between these tables. You've got, in essence, kind of a primary key, and we'll talk about that in another video. But there's no primary key, foreign key, there's no relationships, there's no joins between tables, there's no unions, things like this. These tables are standalone, and they're really meant for high transactional output. It's really stored, and we'll see this in a future video. Really, it's a key value pair type of storage mechanism. There's not rows and tables and columns that we're used to understanding in a relational setting. So we don't equate Windows Azure Tables with a relational database system where there's tables and primary keys and things like that. This is not the same. This is a key value pair, high transactional system. But the entities, we can think of entities in terms of tables a little bit because we work in an object-oriented environment, and we'll see this in the demo. But really, we need to understand that they're not relational, but we can still insert, update, delete, we can query, we can do entity group transactions, things like that. So we need to get this out of the way, and hopefully this makes sense. The concept behind Windows Azure Tables is there's really no fixed schema. So I can have one row with three columns and another row with one column. And you notice there in the birth date that really each, the columns can have different formats. So there's not these tables, they store entities, and that each table can contain entities of really any shape. There's no fixed schema, there's no schema checking, there's no strong typing. So note that the birth date is stored in both a date time value and as a string. Now the great thing, and this is the last slide before we get to the demo, the great thing is that the value proposition here is that we can get access to Windows Azure Tables programmatically. So we can programmatically get access to both the blob storage and the table storage. And it's really available through the Windows Azure client libraries and the Windows Azure Storage Services REST API. It is an open cloud platform, and that enables you to quickly build and deploy and manage applications across the global network. Windows Azure Tables are available through a Windows Azure SDK or through a REST API. They can be called from any HTTP client, and there is a .NET Developers SDK that ships with the client, Windows Azure SDK. So with that, let's jump right in and do a demo. And what I have here is I have a simple demo, and the UI is already done. And I've just got a simple form here we're going to use, so we're not spending time in developing web and publishing a web. We're just going to use a simple WinForms application. And in this WinForms application, I have it already created, but as we can see, there's no code here, right? I have one on the little code cleaning up some of the text boxes, but that's it. I have nothing here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through from start to finish how to use the Windows Azure SDK and client APIs to start communicating with the Windows Azure Tables and the Windows Azure Table client. So what I'm going to do is the first thing we need to do is get a reference to the Windows Azure storage API. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to right mouse click on my solution here. I'm going to say manage NuGet packages. And the easiest way to get access to this is through here. And so we're going to search online and we're going to search for Windows Azure Storage. That one right there. And what I'm going to do here is just click install. And notice what it's going to do. It's going to install the following packages because that also, the Windows Azure Storage API also requires these. I'm going to click accept. And notice over here, it installs over these. And it, notice all the references over here that it added to my project. So I'm going to click close. And now we can see that it added a bunch of references like the Windows Azure Configuration, the Windows Azure Storage, OData, and a bunch of new references that it added to my project. I'm going to add one more. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to see. Okay, I'm going to go to what I need to install it, or add is the system.configuration. So I'm going to add that one as well. Because what I already have here is what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull and save my. So it's best practices not to hard code your credentials. So anytime you access your Windows Azure Storage, you need a storage account and a storage key. And we'll show those in one of the next video series. That information is required anytime you access the Windows Azure Storage, so whether it's tables, blobs, or anything like that. And so in my app.config, I have my account name and my account key there. And this is what I'm going to use. I'm going to use the configuration to pull that out and get access to my storage account. So let's go jump in and start adding some code here. I'm not going to do a lot of typing. What I am going to add, I'm going to add a few using statements. I'm going to say adding using Microsoft Windows Azure Storage. I'm going to add a few more here. Storage.table, because we're going to work with tables today, and then using system.configuration. Perfect. Okay, so remember in the slides we talked that, you know, we work with every table can have entity. An entity really is just the shape of what the row looks like, or what we think of a row, what the row looks like. And through the API, it allows us to work with entities. So if you're familiar with kind of POCO objects, plain old CLR objects and things like that, what we're going to do is we're going to create one of those to work with our entity. So I'm going to go down here and insert a code snippet. I'm just going to add simple an imp entity. And so here's my employee class. And in order to work with table storage, we need to inherit from table entity. And this is really just the ability to work with the Windows Azure table storage client, right? So notice here, every table must have a partition key and row key, and they can be anything. So I'm going to use department. So if we go back and look at my table, I've got department, first name, last name, title, and phone. Department's going to be my partition key, and the row key is going to be good. Let me explain what these are. So every table in Windows Azure Table Storage needs to have a partition key and row key, and this is what allows Windows Azure to partition these tables. We'll talk about scalability in a future video, but every single table in Windows Azure Tables needs to have a partition key and row key. Partition keys don't need to be unique, but row keys do need to be unique per partition key. So for example, if I have, let's say I have a partition key of movies and I use a number for row key, so I can't have a, let's say for movies I have a comedy and I have a row key of 1. I can't have comedy 1, comedy 1, comedy 1. I need to have comedy 1, comedy 2, comedy 3, for example. So again, row keys must be unique per partition key. And the partition key is what Windows Azure uses to partition and scale the table. So again, I can have multiple partition keys, so comedy, 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 drama, drama. And Windows Azure will use those partition keys to scale the tables automatically. And then what I'm doing is I'm defining what my entity looks like. So it's an employee entity. I'm just doing first name, last name, title, and phone, which matches on my form. I could do much more. Again, we also said that in the slides we showed that every entities, there's no schema checking, so I can have different entities of a different schema per table. In a future, I think in the next video, I'm going to show you how to do that. In this example, it's going to be an easy one. Every entity is going to have the every table is going to have the, or every entity is going to have the same schema, so the same amount of we'll call them columns. Okay. So I've added my entity, and it does inherit from the table. And really, what this, as you can see, represents the base object type per table entity in the table storage service. So this, we need to inherit this in order to work with table storage. All right. So with that, we've defined our entity. So let's jump out and let's go back and let's add a few more things. So we're going to add our account credentials or a few things to start working with table storage. So let me add another code snippet here. And say account creds. And really, these aren't the account credentials, but really this is the cloud storage account. And these are the things that allow us to work with Windows Azure tables. So for example, this cloud storage account, this really represents a Windows Azure storage account. This is the kind of the umbrella of the storage account. It allows us to start working with our Windows Azure table or Windows Azure storage account. The storage credentials, this allows us to pass a set of credentials that are used to authenticate to our storage account. And we'll see this in a minute. And then lastly, we have the Cloud Table Client. And this gives us the client-side representation of the Windows Azure table service and allows us to perform operations against that table service. And we'll show you how to use that in a second. All right, with that, let's go down to Form Load, and let's add another code snippet. And we'll go to Form Load here. And notice what we're doing. So what I'm doing is I'm grabbing the account name and account key out of the my app.config. And then I'm just setting, okay, my account creds, which I defined up here. I'm setting the account creds to, or the credentials to these values that I pulled out of my the app.config. I'm then creating a new instance of the cloud storage account and passing these credentials. And then what I'm doing is I'm saying, okay, let's get an instance of that cloud table client class using the storage account that we just created. And what we do is we call the create cloud table client, and this is just creates the cloud table service client. So now we can start working with the table client and start enumerating tables, creating tables, deleting tables, things like that. I am then calling a couple functions or methods that I haven't created yet. So let's go down here and let's insert those, and we'll show you what we're doing there. So here I'm calling create table and get tables, and create table says let's create the employee table, and we call and using this table, the cloud table, which it represents a Windows Azure table. Then we say table.create if not exists, and what this does is it's very easy. We don't have to do any checking ourselves. We just call this create if not exists. If the table doesn't exist, create it. If it does exist, don't create it. That's the one we're going to use, right? Quite simple. And then we call get tables. And notice here, let me go back, notice here that we're not defining what this table, the structure of this table, we're just saying let's create it. And what we're doing here is we're saying this is going to be the structure of our table, right? And then we call get tables. What we're doing now is we're saying, hey, we're using that from the table client up here. We're just enumerating and saying let's go get enumerate all the tables and get all the tables that I've created, okay? And so it is IEnumerable. Which allows us to iterate through all the tables and get the list of all the tables. So quite simple. All right, we're not quite done yet. So let's go back and let's double click on the list tables, because what we want to do now is when we any table that shows up on our list, when we click on that, we want to get all the entities out of that table. So let's do that. I'm going to say list tables. And again, what we're doing is we're just saying, let's get another reference to the cloud table. And that's the one that we're selecting in the list box. And then we're just doing a simple query. Let's query this table. And all we're doing is saying execute query. So we're using the table query class that really represents a query against a specified table, which we're selecting out of the list box. We're saying table.execute query, and then we're setting the results of that to a list, and then setting that as our data source to our grid. Okay, quite simple. And then what we're also going to do is when we add an entity, let's show you how to do that. Down here on save. So very simple again, we want to make sure we're saving to the right table, and we're getting a reference to that entity down here, the imp entity, the employee entity. And we're getting, and we're in here, what we're doing, notice that we're saying we're passing the partition key here, which we're saying, which is the department, okay? Because we specified that the department is our partition key, right? And then we're just filling in the rest of the fields, so the first name, last name, title, and phone. Then we're doing a table operation, which is an insert. We're doing an insert operation, passing that that entity, the imp entity, and we're saying table.execute, and we're passing the insert, and then everything should be good. All right, so quite simple. We're just getting a list of tables, we're adding a table, adding an entity to that table, and we should be good. So let's run this, let's compile this, and make sure everything's good. Okay, so let's run this. And we do have, so what it did do is notice on the load, it did go and create that table and then list that table for us. So when we ran the application on the load, it went and created that table. It didn't exist. And now when we click on this, there are no entities in there. That's because we have, it's a brand new table. We haven't added any. Let's go ahead and add one. So we're going to say engineering. And we'll say Scott Klein, technical evangelist. And give it a phone number. And click save. Our entity's been saved, so let's go ahead and click on this table again, and there is our entity. Now notice though, so there's our first name, last name, title, phone, there's our partition key. Now notice we didn't have to enter the partition key because, and partition key and row key, because that was defined down here automatically as we go through and every time an entity is added, right? So there's our, well, we did specify the partition key. So there's our partition key and our row key, but notice there's also two columns that we didn't, two properties of the entity that we didn't specify, which is the timestamp and the etag. Timestamp is automatic. It's kind of like the get date in SQL Azure, right? When you specify that on a column, it'll automatically add that. So there's our timestamp. We didn't have to specify that. But notice this etag. What is an etag? You can think of this etag as kind of a verging mechanism for tables. Or for entities, the etag can be used for concurrency checks, really uses the if match header during updates and deletes and things like that to do concurrency checking. So really, the etag is there to allow you to do concurrency checking and kind of a versioning, right? All right, so quite simple. All we did here was we simply added an entity, and we created a table. Created a table, listed that table, and then when we click the table in the list box, it shows us all the entities in that list box. Awesome. All right, so we're not quite done yet, so let's stop this, and let's delete out of that entity. But before I do that, I want to grab this row key. This is really just a good, so I'm going to go grab this, because what I'm going to do here is I'm going to add a, let's see. So I'm going to add a button here. I'm going to have to run it again to grab that. So I'm going to set the properties of this. So this is going to be delete. Call this, delete. And let me run this again, because what I want to do is I want to grab that row key again. Let me grab that. Because in our delete here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to add another code snippet that shows us how to perform a delete. All right, so it's quite simple. We're just going to get a reference to employees. All right, so our table, make sure you get that right, employee. And then we call we do another table operation. So in the first one, we did a table operation insert. Here we're going to do a table operation retrieve. So when you delete, you have to retrieve it and then delete it, right? So we do a table operation retrieve to grab the one we want to delete. And so this is, if we notice this, if we take a look at this, this is we need to pass the partition key and the row key. So the partition key is engineering, which we specified. and then the row key, which is our GUID here. Okay? And then we grab those results, we do the table results, which represents the results that we get back from our retrieve operation. And then we do push that into the entity, because then we do that, then what we do is we another table operation, delete, specifying the entity that we just went and retrieved. And then we just again call the table.execute and specify the delete operation. Okay, so this should be pretty good. Let's make sure we spelled everything right. So let's run this. And did we get, should be engineering. So we're just going to highlight that, click delete. Deleted. If we click this again, our entity should go away. All right. So let's add another one, because the question you may have is, well, how do I view this? Are there any mechanisms for viewing my table storage and the tables that I have, the entities within those tables and things like that? And absolutely there are. So let's go ahead and add, let's add another one. I'm going to just start and stop this. You don't need to do that, but I'm going to do that. So I'm going to click employee. Whoops. I clicked. I put some checking in there. So employee, let's do engineering. We'll do Scott again. Scott Klein. And we'll save that. Right. So there it is. There's my entity. Now we stop this, and there's several tools that allow you to work with directly with your storage account. One of the tools is what's called Cloud Storage Studio. This used to be owned by Cerebrata. That they got bought by Redgate. So this is now a Redgate product. It allows you to view your storage objects in Windows Azure. So now I have tables, queues, and blobs. And we'll get into blobs in another video series. So let's right mouse click these tables and click refresh. And notice there's my employee table. If I double click that, there's my row that I just inserted through Visual Studio, through my application. So there it is. You also have this ability through through Visual Studio. So I can actually go through Windows Azure Storage, connect to my Windows Azure Storage account through the account name and account key, and also do the same. So you have several options. This one is not free. Cloud Storage Studio is not free. But if you have Visual Studio, this is free. So you can add, there's my development account, but if I want to add another one, I can say add new storage account, pass it the account name and the account key, and I can then have access to my storage account through Visual Studio. All right, so that was kind of a quick introduction into Windows Azure table storage. What the example that we walked through here is based on the SDK 2.0 version. So if you go up to Windows Azure, windowsazure.com, click on documentation, and then go into Develop Center and click on .NET, you can scroll down in here and say store data in tables. And it brings you to this. And so it sort of walks you, what we walked you through is kind of an example of what you find here. We did walk through the 2.0 version. The 1.7 version we did not discuss because things changed a little bit, and we're really focusing on the 2.0 version. And this is kind of what we walked through today. So if you want further information about this, it really walks through what we discussed here, but in kind of in further detail as far as, you know, what the methods are, what the classes are, and some of what they mean. So with that, we appreciate your time. And let me bring up my contact information. So if you want to contact me and have any questions about what you saw or anything you want to see in a future video series regarding Windows Azure Tables or anything regarding the storage or data services Windows Azure, feel free to reach out to me, and I'm happy to hear from you, and we'll see you next time. Thank you very much.